यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन जमुना तीरावनचारी जमुना तीरावनचारी हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद जय गौरकिशोर जय गौरकिशोर जय गौरकिशोर जय गौरकिशोर
जयम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवार गजराष्ट्र उत्तर श्री श्रीमदय चरण अरविंद भक्ति वेदांत जगदुरु श्री प्रभुपाद की जय जयम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवार गजराष्ट्र उत्तर श्री भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज श्री प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण जय धन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की जय व्रज भूमि वृंदावन मथुरा धाम की जय पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय द्वारकापुरी धाम की जय न्यू द्वारका धाम की जय द मोस्ट ऑस्पिशियस डिसअपीयरेंस डे ऑफ गौर किशोर दास बाबा जी महाराज की जय Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki Om Adhyana Timirandhasya Dhyananjana Shalakaya चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामहं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं दं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं
श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान सह गण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश नमाम विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी निति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे नमो गौर किशोराय साक्षात वैराग्य मूर्तये विप्रलंब रसांबोधे पादांबोजाय ते नमः
हरे कृष्ण सो टुडे वी आर सेलिब्रेटिंग द होली डिसअपीयरेंस डे ऑफ गौर किशोर दास बाबाजी महाराज सो हिज प्रणति इज नमो गौर किशोराय साक्षात वैराग्य मूर्तये विप्रलंब रसांबोधे पादांबोजाय ते नमः दिस मीनिंग इज that I offer my humble obeisances at the lotus feet of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, who is Sakshat Vairagya Murti. Means that he is the very embodiment or personification of renunciation. And he is serving the lotus feet of Radha Krishna in the mood of separation. Vipralamba Rasambodhe. So this is how he is serving Radha and Krishna in the humble mood of separation, vipralamba bhava, which is considered even higher than the rasa of union. So we will discuss about the different aspects of the personality of the great Babaji Maharaj. Especially, we are not very keen on understanding what is renunciation? Most of the times we take the concept of Yukta Vairagya and apply it to our desires and to our comfort and wherever we want. And in the name of Yukta Vairagya, a lot of sense gratification happens. So Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he was very strict renunciate. And he comes in the category of the Babajis, Avadhutas. Avadhutas means the personalities who do not mingle with Maya or the material energy of Krishna at all. That's called Avadhuta personality. For example, there was one time that Srila Prabhupada's disciples brought to Srila Prabhupada's attention that there is one renunciate, that very a personality who claims to be very renounced, and he takes pictures. He likes to pose with a bunch of money and he poses like this, that, oh, there's a bunch of money and he's like posing like, this ridiculous money. And then Prabhupada said, actually, I would also like to pose, but instead of with bunch of money and going like ridiculous pose, like I don't care about money, I would like to take picture like this, that I'm embracing that bunch of money. And then when the disciples were confused, Srila Prabhupada said that we are not the Falgu Vairagis, like we are not fake renunciates who take, you know, in the name of renunciation, we make a show. And rather, Prabhupada said that we will take the money and put in the service of the owner of that money, who is Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada's mood and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj's mood is to gain or to mingle or to take Maya or the external energy of Krishna and apply it in the service of Krishna. But we have to understand that there is one category of the Vaishnavas who are called Avadhutas. You know, different Vaishnavas, even in Bhagavatam we hear about a lot of different Vaishnavas and they are in the Avadhut category. And who is the topmost Avadhuta? Anybody knows? Yes, Vrishabhdev is one of them. Nityanand Prabhu, yes, very. That's the best example. Nityanand Prabhu or Balram, he is the topmost, the crest jewel of Avadhutas. So, Babaji Maharaj was Avadhuta, meaning that he would not mingle with the material energy. We can also see the example of Shukdev Goswami, who was in the womb of the mother and he didn't want to come out. Because he said that, I don't want to come out of the womb, because in the womb, you know, it's all dark and I'm in seclusion and I can do my bhajan, I can remember Krishna, I can be on my own and I can be happy. I can be here forever. Krishna had to personally come and tell Shukadeva Goswami that, don't worry, I promise and I guarantee you that my external energy will not affect you. Then only Shukadeva Goswami came out. So these are different categories of such personalities. And Srila Prabhupada very specifically tells that we should not imitate such personalities, because we cannot imitate such personalities. Even if we try, we will fall on our face. So here, such great Avadhuta personality is Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. He was born on the river of Padma in 1800s. And then he was also married. He was born in the Vaishya family, in the family of the grain merchants. And then he was also married, because those days, you know, kids would be married at very young age. And then he was married and he entered grihastha life. And he was a grihastha for 29 years. He spent as a perfect grihastha. He was also had his occupation and he would perform a lot of charity. And he spent a very nice and exemplary grihastha life. But when his wife departed from this world, he decided to go to Vrindavan. He decided to be a Babaji. Here in this regard, we also understand that he was young at that time. He could have married again. He could have gotten another wife. But rather, he took this as Krishna's indication to renounce the world and seek happiness in the higher reality, in the bhajan of Krishna. So he went to Vrindavan and he spent 30 years in Vrindavan. And he got initiation from Bhagwat Das Babaji Maharaj, who is disciple of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. So that, this is how the line is. So that time, Bhagwat Das Babaji Maharaj gave him instruction that you stay in Vrindavan and do bhajan. You be a Babaji. You only go and beg door to door, do madhukari. And whatever, if someone gives you, you eat that. If someone does not give you anything, then you fast. So he was very, very austere. Actually, it is said that he rarely did madhukari. He would only eat the mud from the banks of Yamuna. And that was his everything. And he would only chant. He would chant 300,000 names of Krishna. That's like a lot. Means all day he was constantly chanting. And especially in Vrindavan, he was constantly in the mood of separation. That's called Vipralamba Rasa. The Vipralamba Rasa means that we feel intense and immense separation from Krishna. And because of that immense separation, the devotee, he naturally becomes so connected with Krishna because of the separation that he sees Krishna everywhere. You know, that separation, Vipralamba Rasa, is even higher than the Sambhoga, even having Krishna face to face. So who is the topmost devotee in Vipralamba Rasa? And anybody else? Yeah, Srimati Radharani is the crest jewel of that rasa, Vipralamba Rasa. And she is called Krishnamayi. Why? Krishnamayi, Krishna jar bhitare bahire. The purport of the word Krishnamayi, Kaviraj Goswami says, Krishnamayi means she has Krishna within her and without her she only sees Krishna everywhere. Jahan jahan netr pade tahan Krishna sphure. That's Kaviraj Goswami says. What is Krishnamayi means? Wherever her eyes go, she only sees Krishna. And that's the purport of Vipralamba Rasa also. Meaning, the devotees who are in the Vipralamba Rasa, wherever they see, wherever they cast their eyes, they only see the lotus face of Krishna. Krishna jar bhitare bahire. Whenever the eyes are open, the devotee is seeing Krishna in everything and in everyone. And when the eyes are closed, the devotee is embracing Krishna within his heart. So that's Vipralamba Rasa. So Babaji Maharaj would travel all the different pastimes of Radha Krishna in Vrindavan, and especially in the mood of separation, he would cry tears and always chant a bhajan calling out Sri Radha and Krishna. His most favorite bhajan was, he would chant, Kothai ga prema mai radhe radhe, radhe radhe ga jaya radhe radhe. Dekh diya prana rakho radhe radhe, tomar kangal tomai dake radhe radhe. Vrindavana vilasini radhe radhe, kanuman mohini radhe radhe. Ashta sakhir shiromani radhe radhe, vrushabhanu nandini radhe radhe. He would constantly shed tears of separation from Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. So he spent 30 years doing such bhajan. And in the year 1893, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur discovered the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Yoga Pitha, the news spread all over India, especially in Vrindavan and the important holy places, that the birthplace of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been discovered by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And all the great Vaishnavas came, they wanted to see him. So along with all such Vaishnavas, our Babaji Maharaj also came to Vrindavan. From Vrindavan, he came to Navadvip. There, he met his Param Guru, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. And then that time, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj said, how is your bhajan going on? What is happening with you? So Param Guru is asking his grand disciple, what's going on with the bhajan? And then he said that I don't have any taste for chanting. Even though he was chanting 3 lakh names of Krishna, he said, I don't have any taste. I want to intensify my bhajan. That was his mood, and that should be the mood of all the Vaishnavas. They always want to better their chanting. So that time, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj gave the instruction to Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj that you stay in Navadvip. Because in the age of Kali especially, whoever will worship and chant the holy names of Gauranga in Navadvip, that person will very easily attain the love of Krishna. So it's very easy process. You stay here. And that time, he had intense separation from Vrindavan, but he still followed that instruction. He took a Kshetra Sannyas, that he didn't want to leave Navadvip Dham anymore. So he stayed in Navadvip, and the way he stayed will define his characteristic as Sakshat Vairagya Murte. He was living off on an overturned boat on the banks of the Ganges. So he would sit on the overturned boat. He would sit there and chant all day, all night. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. He would eat only the mud from the Ganges, and sometimes he would do some madhukari. He would eat some parched rice, wash it in the Ganges water and eat. And sometimes he would just fast. Especially on the Ekadasi days, he would not drink or eat anything at all. So he was a very austere personality, and his fame was spreading all over Navadvip. And you know how he would chant? He would get you know, how he covered his body, he got some discarded cloth from crematorium. And also from such cloth, he tied 108 knots. He made a japa bead, and he would chant on that, those. So that was his austere personality. One time, one person gave him a shawl, thinking that Babaji must be feeling cold in the winter days. But Babaji Maharaj, he put that shawl, he put two sticks on top of the boat, and he hang that shawl with the two sticks, just like a shade. The person came back and he said that, oh, this is such a costly shawl I gave you, and you just put it on top. Babaji Maharaj said that your costly shawl is giving me warmth, even from such a distance. One person gave him a very nice blanket, and he put it on, but he started feeling a little sleepy. And he was like, no, this is ridiculous. I don't want my bhajan, my remembrance of Krishna, chanting of Krishna's names to be affected. So he put that blanket on top of a hut. The person asked that, why the blanket is so far away? I gave it to cover your body. He said, this blanket is so warm that even from such a distance, I am getting the warmth. And sometimes if I need to warm up myself, I go and put my hands on it. And I come back and I chant. And that's enough for me. So that was how austere he was. That's why he's called Sakshat Vairagya Murtaye. So Babaji Maharaj was constantly chanting and remembering Lord Krishna always. If anybody would come and touch his feet, he would say, Satyanas ho gaya tera. Means he would say that now your life is doomed. You touched my feet, that means your life is finished. And the person will be scared. Like, is it a blessing or is it a curse? But what he meant is now your material life is finished. So that was the internal meaning given by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. But he would say that now you are doomed. He would not let anyone touch his lotus feet. But many people would come and say that, oh, give us some blessing, give us some mercy. Babaji, please give us mercy. You are pure Vaishnava. But he would say, okay, you want my mercy? Okay, put one kutir. Let's build you a small hut. You also sit here and chant. Forget about all your material business and be and live with me. That is my mercy. So that is the blessing I can give you. So that was his blessing. In this regard, our dear Srila Prabhupada, also one time when he was traveling with his disciples in a train in India, that time one materialistic person, he looked at Prabhupada, he looked so effulgent. And he was attracted to Srila Prabhupada. And he asked our Srila Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, give me some blessing, Swamiji. Give me some blessing. And Prabhupada sensed that he just wants some material benediction. He is not interested in bhakti. So Srila Prabhupada said, do you see all these people with me? They are all my disciples. And they have gotten my blessing. And if you get my blessing, you will also become like them. So this person looked around and he saw all the shaved up sannyasis and all the shaved up prabhus and matajis, and like he got scared. And he said, it's okay, Swamiji, maybe next time. So Srila Prabhupada could sense that in the name of blessing, all those people wanted was some material benediction, just wanted some sense gratification. Our Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he would sit in his hut and only chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra all day, all night. And he would not get anything for himself to eat. One time, one person had given him some Mahaprasad of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And it was a kheer that he put in a pot in his little hut. Or some people built him a small little hut of dry grass and all the discarded tree material. So he was sometimes sit in the hut, and one day there was a kheer in the pot, and some ants were coming in that.
So he decided to hang that pot from the rooftop, from a rope. So the pot was hanging, and so that it will be protected from the ants. So the ants did not come, but a snake came. Snake climbed and he came from the top. And he was about to enter that pot. One lady was passing by and she saw that there is a snake in that hut. And what is happening there? She immediately came inside the hut. And she started screaming, "Oh, Babaji, look, there is a snake. There is a snake that is about to enter your prasadam. And if you eat that, you will die. It's poisonous snake." That time, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was very calm and stern. He said, "You leave this place at once. Don't worry about it." She said, "But I'm talking to you, I'm giving you my affection. Because I care, I'm telling you this." So Babaji Maharaj said that it is better for me to die from the poison of this poisonous snake than to receive, you know, poisonous affection from a personality like you. He could sense some lust. He could sense some material so-called affection coming from a woman. So he said, "I don't want such affection," so-called. And because he would never meet any lady, any woman in seclusion. He never ever in his life met any woman in seclusion. He always had some disciples, some other devotees around him. So he was very strict about the principle of being a strict brahmachari, being strict celibate. And he would tell all his disciples, all the devotees that would gather around, he would give instruction that if you want to cross the material ocean, then you have to listen to this. Do not associate with women loosely. Do not associate with those who associate with women loosely. And do not associate with those who associate with those who associate with women loosely. So be very strict about that. In Srimad Bhagavatam also, it is mentioned, "Mahat sevam dwaram ahur vimukte tamo dwaram yoshitam sangi sangaha." So Srimad Bhagavatam also very nicely describes that the doors of liberation will open very easily for the person who serves the great Mahabhagavatas. Mahat sevam. If you serve a great Vaishnava, then the doors of liberation will open very easily. And if you want to open the doors of the gates of hell, then yoshitam sangi sangaha, then if you associate with the woman, or if women associate loosely with men, it goes in both the directions. It basically means do not associate with opposite sex loosely. Srimad Bhagavatam also describes very beautifully. So in Navadvip Dham, when Gaur Kishore Das Babaji would be chanting and associating with the devotees there, our Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, who back then was Vimal Prasad, he also started to come and associate with Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj would come and sit in the assembly where Bhakti Vinod Thakur would speak on Chaitanya Shikshamrit. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur would very eloquently and very nicely describe the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj would sit in the back, and just his presence would attract everyone. Even Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he also understood that this personality is not an ordinary personality. He's a great Mahabhagavat Vaishnava. And sometimes he would chant this bhajan, "Kothai kothai garadhe, kothai kothai." He would chant, "Oh, my dear Srimati Radharani, where are you?" And "Kanu mana mohini, radhe radhe." He would say, "Oh, my dear Srimati Radharani, you are the enchantress of the mind of Krishna, who enchants the entire creation. So how great you are, and I am deeply weeping in separation from you." And when such beautiful bhajans would be sung from the lotus mouth of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, Vimal Prasad, he would be listening and he completely got enchanted by Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. He was so attracted by him and seeing his love for Radha and Krishna, seeing how much deeply in love he is, or Vimal Prasad, he was firm in his heart that he wanted to take initiation from Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. But Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj had a bad experience of a disciple in the past. There was one disciple who he gave some nice instructions who could not contend, who could not follow, and had run away. So Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj had decided that I am not accepting any disciples. There is no one qualified. All are, you know, rascals and mlechas, so I am not going to accept any foolish personality in my life anymore. Now here Vimal Prasad, he was completely attracted and attached to Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And Bhaktivinod Thakur, the father of Vimal Prasad, he also said that if you wish to take initiation, then the best candidate is Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. So Vimal Prasad, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, who was he? If you are not aware of the background of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, he was a great scholar to an extent we cannot even imagine. At the age of 7, he was proofreading and helping his father in Jaiva Dharma book. He was proofreading at the age of 7. At the age of 11, he wrote the commentary on the most difficult book in Sanskrit. It's called Surya Siddhanta. He wrote the commentary at the age of 11. That book is so complex that many people don't even want to touch it. It's based on astrology. At the age of 15, Vimal Prasad, he was given a chair of honor from the University of Kolkata for the Department of Philosophy, Physics, Astronomy. And they said that, oh, my dear Vimal Prasad, you come anytime you want. This chair is reserved for you. It's your lifetime. You are on this post. You are the main guest of honor, the chair of honor, that you can come anytime. You can take classes whenever you want. You can walk in and we will be honored. So that was the caliber of Vimal Prasad. And such a great scholar, he was, you know, with folded hands, he was begging for initiation from Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj said that, oh, you are so qualified. You are the great Vimal Prasad, the son of the great Bhaktivinod Thakur, who is famous all over. Why are you here? Go and find the right guru who would give you the right instruction and show you the right path. Go! He said, I'm not taking you. And Vimal Prasad was bewildered. What should I do now? And then Vimal Prasad said that, but I have accepted him as spiritual master. Now I cannot go anywhere else. Now my heart is married. My heart is connected with him forever. So the next day, Vimal Prasad came again, begging for initiation. He was falling at the feet of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj and said that, if I take initiation, I just want to take it from you. Please accept me. I have read so many books. Actually, I have read so many libraries, he said, that we read books, but Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Vimal Prasad, he would read libraries. He would, while talking to his friends, he would say, oh, have you read this library? Oh, have you read that library? So he would completely by heart and read the libraries. So he said that, I have read all the Vedas, all the Puranas, I have read all the Upanishads, all the Samhitas, all the history, and I have read so many books on astronomy, and so much of knowledge that I have is just like the water of the ocean. It cannot quench my thirst. Please, you have to give me the mercy and give me the drop of Krishna Prem. Just give me one drop of that Krishna Prem, that will quench my thirst. And he started crying, weeping the tears. And that time Babaji Maharaj said that, I told you, you cannot be taking initiation from some illiterate person like me. You are very qualified. So, go. I don't want to give initiation. When he said, please, please Babaji, please give me the initiation. I cannot go anywhere. He said, okay, I will ask Krishna. I will ask Mahaprabhu and I'll tell you later. Go. So, he came again next day. He said, oh, did you get a chance to ask Mahaprabhu? What did he say? Oh, I forgot. Go. I don't want to give initiation. And then he came again next day. Oh, did you get a chance to talk to Mahaprabhu? Are you ready for initiation? He said, no. You are coming from an aristocratic family. You are very scholarly. And you are handsome. So all these are the disqualifications for initiation. So you have been disqualified. Go. So he was like, oh. So again he came back after a few days. And he was rolling on the dust of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And crying and weeping. He said, please give me the initiation. Because without taking initiation from you, I will commit suicide. I will drown myself in the Ganges. And then Babaji Maharaj said, okay, I'll think about it. You go right now. And then Bhaktivinod Thakur also came and talked to Babaji Maharaj. He said that, oh, my son is very nice. You know, I also recommend him. So that time, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj said that, I know. Of course, I know that he is your son and he is very qualified. But I feel not qualified. So when Bhaktivinod Thakur also recommended, and Bimal Prasad was so insistent and he threatened that I'm going to give up my life. So finally, there was one time when Bimal Prasad came and he said that I'm not leaving you anymore. I'm just going to sit here and chant until I die. That time, Babaji Maharaj said, do you want initiation? You want initiation? Here. So he took his hand and he rubbed it on his lotus feet. And he sprinkled the dust. He threw it in the direction of Vimal Prasad. He said, here. And then all the particles from the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, he writes that when those particles were approaching me, I could see them in slow motion. And I felt floating in the spiritual reality. And I felt that moment, my entire material consciousness was destroyed. So that Babaji Maharaj, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he would never give anyone his dust. He would never let anyone touch his lotus feet. He personally gave and sprinkled on him. And he said, go take bath. I will initiate you right now. So when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, Vimal Prasad heard, he immediately ran to the river. And he took immediately bath. He came back. And that time, our Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj gave Gayatri Mantra to Bimal Prasad. And he said, so your initiated name is Shri Varshabhanavi Devi Daita Das. So that was the initiation name given by Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj to Bimal Prasad. The meaning of the name is Shri Varshabhanavi Devi. Who is that? Radharani, because she is the daughter of Vrishabhanu. So Vrishabhanu's daughter, Varshabhanavi Devi, Daita means the one who is very dear servant of Srimati Radharani. So Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj gave initiation and he gave that name and he gave him instructions also. And after that, we see that complete transformation in the life of Vimal Prasad. Now Varshabhanavi Devi Daita Das. He started intensifying his Krishna consciousness. And he also wanted to preach. He started to systematically devise plans to preach Krishna consciousness throughout the world. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, sometimes people would come and say, oh, you are so scholarly. And you have taken initiation from who? Babaji Maharaj, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. He doesn't even know how to sign his name. That time Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj would furiously say that who says he doesn't know how to sign? I am his signature. So, Bimal Prasad, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, he would always say very nice things about Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj. He also one time said that if Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj would give his entire time out of his one day, if he is doing 23 hours, 59 minutes and 59 seconds for Krishna, and if he is keeping 1 second for himself, I would not have taken initiation from him. But I know my dear Guru Maharaj, he is completely engrossed, completely attached, and he is serving Krishna, remembering Krishna all throughout the day, 24 hours. So he would always say like this about his Guru Maharaj. One time what happened is our Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj, while residing on the banks of the Ganges, he would encounter so many people who would come, and he said like, oh, give us some blessing, give us some, you know, benediction, give us your mercy. So one time he got really fed up and he came to public lavatories. He came in the public restrooms and he locked himself and he started chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And all the people were bewildered that, oh, Babaji Maharaj is now living in the public toilets. And then some government officials came and they knocked on the door. Oh, Babaji Maharaj, come out. We will build a nice kutir for you with lock. We will build you nice everything. Just come out. We cannot see you living in the public toilet because it's so stinky. Babaji Maharaj from inside replied that the stink of this public toilet is better than the stink of the material consciousness of those materialistic people who come and beg me for blessings. So he was living there and he was chanting and performing his bhajan all day, all night, in a public restroom, public toilet. So everybody was thinking how to take him out. That time, one 17-year-old boy, whose name was Vinod Bihari, he came to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj and he was telling that, I want to get your mercy. He was telling to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. But that time, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj said, if you want my mercy, you have to go and meet my Guru Maharaj. You go and see him. He is living in Navadvip. So he went and he found out that he's locked himself in the public toilet. So he came back and told that, oh, dear Maharaj, I cannot meet him because he's inside. Then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj said that, don't worry, I know the password for that door. So you go and shout that, oh, Babaji Maharaj, we come from your dear Shri Varshabhanavi Devi Daita Prabhu. We come from the mercy of Varshabhanavi Devi Daita Prabhu. And when Gaur Kishor Das Babaji heard that name, he immediately opened the door, grabbed the person, Vinod Bihari, inside, and he locked it again. So, at least Vinod Bihari Prabhu, he was thinking, okay, I at least got the darshan of Babaji Maharaj. And then in that public toilet, Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj gave so many nice instructions to Vinod Bihari Prabhu, who later on becomes Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Goswami Maharaj, who gave sannyas initiation to our Srila Prabhupada. So that's a nice connection. And that time when Vinod Bihari Prabhu was leaving, Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj embraced him. And he said that this embrace will give you the strength to serve my Prabhu. Because Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj would call Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj Amar Prabhu, my master. And it's fine. But the funny thing and the interesting thing is that Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj would also call Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Amar Prabhu. So he would say that, okay, this embrace will protect you when you will serve Amar Prabhu. So that was the loving relationship that they had. And when Vinod Bihari, later on we see that when he was serving Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, there used to be a lot of attacks on Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, on his life. Because he was a fierce preacher. He was a lion, Singha Guru. And he would smash the Karmakandi Brahmanas, he would smash the atheistic people, or even those days, the English, they were also after him. So many people were envious of the growing popularity of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. But that time, the Bhakti Pragyan Kesho Maharaj, he would protect him by disguising himself as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. Because they had the similar height, and they both were skinny, and they would look similar. So in such times, he would dress up like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj would dress up like him, like a grehastha. He would wear on white clothes and he would go. And because of the request from the disciples. So our Srila Prabhupada also, many a times, he also mentions how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj would very proudly and very seriously talk about Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj and tell about his instructions and his strictness. That even one time, that a few people came to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj and they wanted to know about cleanliness. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj said, if you want to know about cleanliness, you go and meet Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. So they were like, okay. When they went, they saw that he's living in a public toilet. And that time, when they went and they associated with Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, they came back and reported to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. And they said that your Guru Maharaj, this Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he is pure within and without. And wherever he sits and does his bhajan, that place becomes a spiritual atmosphere. It becomes like a spiritual bubble. And whoever goes there and associates with your Guru Maharaj, that person, he gets cleansed from within and without. So even though externally Babaji Maharaj was not very keen on being at the clean place or being on wearing all the clean, nice clothes, but he was clean from within and without because he was constantly chanting the holy names of Krishna. And he was very critical of all the other Babajis who were in the name of religion or in the name of Krishna Bhakti. They would do all kind of nonsense. One time one person came to Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj and said that, Babaji Maharaj, I'm starting one Bhagwat Saptah. I'm going to speak for 7 days and I want your mercy. So that time Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj said, you want my mercy? You have to follow 3 things. He said, okay, I will follow. He said, first, whatever affair that you are having with that lady, stop that immediately. And he's like, how does he know? Even my wife doesn't know. And this Babaji is too much. So what is the second thing? Second thing he says that you have a menu card of Bhagavatam. I know that you, whenever someone requests you for Bhagavat Katha, you have a menu card. Meaning only Katha, you have to pay this many 1,000 rupees. And if you want Katha plus Kirtan, then more money. If you want Katha and Kirtan and nice Vyasasan and little dancing, more money. So you charge money for Bhagavat, you will go to hell. So you have to stop your menu card business. And you, all that money, you are using for your sense gratification. So this must stop immediately. So that was the second thing. And the third thing, he said that when you do Katha, you have to speak Bhagavat as it is, without any adulteration, without adding any nonsense, without polluting it, without watering it down. So there was a lot of Babajis those days who would do nonsense But at the same time, they would live in the garb of Babaji's. And a lot of times, some, you know, Babaji would be found that, oh, he did this, he did that. So being fed up of such people, one time Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj actually wore silken clothes, nice silk clothes. And everybody is like, is that the Gaurakishore Das Babaji we know, or is that someone else? So when everybody asked him that, what happened, Babaji Maharaj, what happened to your usual, you know, vesh, Babaji vesh? So he said that all these rascals who are doing nonsense in the garb of Babaji, you know, just to show them that I am not from their category, I have decided to wear silken clothes. So when these words were heard by the other people, they got the message and they felt really bad that our dear Gaurakishore Das Babaji, who was really highly respected in Babaji communities, so they understood that, oh, we should never do that. So for a few days he was even wearing those clothes just to say that, okay, you must stop this nonsense. So especially there was one person, one Babaji, who was pretending to be very ecstatic. He was faking the ecstatic symptoms of Krishna Prem just to attract the followers. Especially he would start chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and he would, while chanting, he would start laughing. He would start rolling on the floor and he would start making weird noises and started shaking and pretending that I'm having so much ecstasy. And then one time, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, he was having a Harinam Kirtan and they were doing Sankirtan on the streets. And when the Sankirtan party was going, this person did not care to join. This person kept on doing his, Oh Krishna, Oh Krishna. And he started crying. And he kept on with his nonsense. And that time, Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj said that he is a rascal. He is a pretender. He is not a real Babaji. If he was a real Babaji, he would join the Sankirtan. He would come associate with devotees. But all he cares is his followers. All he cares is how to get more money out of these followers. And when all the people, all the other people and the Babajis, they heard about him, then everyone stopped associating with him. Because the words of Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj were very much respected. If Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj says that this person is a rascal, that's it, no more. That was the power, that was the weight of his words. Even in Atlanta temple, one time when our Srila Prabhupada was here, one person was coming in the temple in Atlanta, and he would, in the middle of Harinam, when the Kirtan is going on, he would start rolling on the floor and started screaming and making a big drama and big scene. So the devotees wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, there is one such person who is while dancing, he is going crazy, screaming and rolling on the floor, and we have to stop Kirtan just because of his disturbance. So Srila Prabhupada replied. He said that next time he comes, keep one stick ready. And then devotees kept one stick ready. And Srila Prabhupada said that when he starts doing his nonsense business, give him some, you know, spanks with the stick. And devotees actually gave him little spanks when he started doing his nonsense, fooling around with the ecstasy and faking it. And Srila Prabhupada said in the letter that if he, while getting those, getting beaten by the stick, if he still continues chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, then he is a real devotee. But instead of Hare Krishna, if he starts cursing and screaming or, you know, giving you bad words, that means he's a pretender. So the devotees also tried that out, and the person, he started cursing and he started screaming. And instead of Hare Krishna, he started like, oh, mommy, oh, daddy, oh, you know. He was started like, oh, save me. What the hell wrong with you guys? Like that. So Srila Prabhupada also did the same technique as Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Now we will just finish with his little condensed teachings of Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. The essence of his teachings. There was one time a newly married couple came to see Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj and they asked for some advice. And that time Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj said to the newly married couple, you know, how grihastha should behave. So his standard is very high. So what he says is, you have to follow three things. What are the three things? He told the wife that as a wife, you have to support and help your husband in all his good endeavors. You have to support him in his Hari Bhajan and you have to support in all his devotional activities. By this, you will get 50% of the credit. That's the first thing he said. Second thing he told to the husband that you should not treat your wife with thinking that, you know, being pompous. I am the man or I am the husband and you must serve me. You are my maid servant. He said that a Vaishnava wife is extremely rare and difficult to find in this world. If one has the good fortune of having one, he should see it as a benediction from Krishna. The wife worships the husband as her lord and master. Similarly, the husband should also respect the wife because she is Krishna Dasi, a servant of Krishna. In this way, the husband can protect his devotional enthusiasm by not considering his wife to be his maid servant, but she is always the maid servant of Krishna. So he told the husband that you should let your wife eat first and you should eat the remnants. And the third thing he said, that he, third thing he told the wife, that if he comes and tries to touch you to for sense gratification, you should take a stick and beat him if he wants to touch you for sense gratification. So that was his instruction for all the grihasthas. And he focused on only Krishna consciousness. He said that grihastha life is a boat that will take you to Krishna directly. But if on the boat, if you do nonsense, then you will be kicked out of that boat. And you will be thrown back in the ocean of material miseries. So the essence of Babaji Maharaj's teachings can be summarized as the divine name of Krishna offers the one and only shelter. One should never try to remember Radha, Damodar, transcendental pastimes by artificial methods. Constant chanting of the divine names will purify the heart. By chanting Harinam, the syllables of the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The syllables of the Maha Mantra will gradually reveal the spiritual form, qualities, pastimes of Sri Krishna. Then you will realize your own eternal spiritual form, service, and the 11 particulars of your spiritual identity. You will be revealed your Swarup Avastha just by chanting the holy names. That's the essence of his teaching. That's what he would say to all the people who would come and seek his blessings. So on this very auspicious day of disappearance of Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, we should all try to take his teachings to heart and imbibe those teachings in our life and under the guidance of Srila Prabhupada. Because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj said that I am the signature of my Guru Maharaj. Similarly, we can see that our Srila Prabhupada is also signature of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. And through this parampara, through this Gaudiya tradition, which is so pure that it offers nothing else but the supreme most object of spiritual realization, that is Krishna Prem. So we don't get anything else in this beautiful Gaudiya Vaishnava Parampara. So, if we follow these teachings very seriously, then we will definitely get Krishna Prem in this very lifetime. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj ki jai. Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj Sthirabhav Divas ki jai. Don't go to Calcutta. But he didn't follow three instructions. Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj, he particularly gave instructions to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj because he himself followed those. He had Kshetra Sannyas that he decided that I will never leave Navadvip. There is a pastime that he was very sick one time. He was very, very sick and all the Babajis and all the personalities in Navadvip, they were concerned that Babaji, is he going to make it? So, they wanted to take him to Kolkata because Kolkata is a bigger city and more facilities, you know, for medication, better doctors. That time, Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj said that it's better for me to die in Navadvip than to see the faces of those rascal sense gratifier doctors. I don't want to go out of Navadvip. And that was a big dilemma. So, Bhaktivinod Thakur, he himself went to Kolkata. He got the medicine. He got everything. And he had to go to and fro. And then he brought the medicine for Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj. But he never left Navadvip. That was his Kshetra Sannyas. And that's the same instruction he gave to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. That stay in Navadvip and don't go out of Dhamma. And he also gave the instruction that do not make disciples. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, we know that he made so many disciples that he is the, in our tradition, he accepted ladies, he accepted women as his disciples, he accepted so many devotees as his disciples and he traveled so much that there was times that when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj would travel in the train, it was confirmed that the train is not going to the destination on time because while the train is going, it would be stopped in the so many places by the government officials. Big aristocratic people would stop the train. Just knowing that, oh, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is traveling in that train, stop it right here. And they would go and take darshan. So that train never reached destination on time. And what is the third one? Don't build any temples, huh? And the Anand Kirtan Prabhu is saying third one that he gave instruction was don't build any temples. Because his understanding, we have to understand, that he saw the holy dham as Chintamani. While being in Vrindavan, he would offer obeisances to even ants. He would see the ants in Vrindavan and he would remember that, oh, they are the eternal associates of Krishna and Radha. And he would bow down to ants. He would bow down to birds, animals, trees, and all the Brajavasis. And then in Navadvip, he saw that there was one time one person who was building roads. And for building roads, he was cutting the trees. And he came to take darshan of Babaji Maharaj. And first thing that he heard is, you rascal, how dare you touch the trees of Navadvip Dham? Because these are not normal trees, these are Chintamani trees. You are cutting the Chintamani trees? So he was very strict. He stopped it immediately. He told him, you cannot cut any tree in Navadvip. There was one person who was a big lawyer who bought some land in Navadvip and he wanted to build like a restaurant or something. And Babaji Maharaj said, you rascal, do you think you can take the land of Navadvip? You cannot. All the wealth in entire creation cannot by an inch from the spiritual world, from Navadvipa Dham. So he was very strict about that. And he said, no, don't build temples, because his idea was everybody should reside in Navadvipa Dham. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, he has a great broader vision. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, he is also one Manjari. And Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj is also Guna Manjari. So they have come to the material world not just to do bhajan, because they are already Nitya Siddhas. They have come to the material world anugrahaya. So distribute the mercy of Krishna to all the fallen conditioned souls. Anugrahaya charanti nunam bhutani bhavyani janardanasya. The great souls come to this material world and they walk on the surface of earth just to distribute the mercy of Krishna. Now, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, he has that vision. And he respected his Guru Maharaj always. But he immediately went to Kolkata because it's a bigger city. And then he started building temples. He built 108, 64 mathas he built. And then he had so many disciples. And there was such a connection between Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj would say that Amar Prabhu, he is the eternal associate of Gauranga. So whatever he does, he is very smart. So there was no conflict as such. So the instruction was given in loving mood, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, he understood that the import of the instruction that my Guru Maharaj ultimately wants is, ultimately his desire is to preach and deliver all conditioned souls. So even though he said don't leave Dham, he meant in your heart always reside at Radhakund. In your heart, never leave Dham. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, he obeyed that instruction, but physically and externally he did not. And similarly he said that don't build any temples. Meaning people build temple and they say that, oh, I built this temple. I built that temple. Oh, this is my matha. Meaning that there comes a sense of ownership. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, he started the managerial system like we have GBC, where he did not keep it anything on his name. He was not the owner. And the third one, he said, don't make disciples. Meaning that don't think that you are a guru and you are the deliverer of anyone. In the heart of hearts, we should remember that all the living entities, they ultimately belong to Krishna. And Krishna is Param Guru. And Krishna is the ultimate shelter and he is the one who is delivering everyone. So he understood the internal meaning of the instructions. So he followed the internal meaning of the instructions, and in that sense he followed the instruction, and at the same time externally it appears he did not. So that's both.
You want to speak anything else?
Why was he? Okay. Anand Kirtan Prabhu is saying that why Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj is seen as Bhajanandi and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj is seen as Goshtanandi. And that's it, right? Or? See, when the great Vaishnavas come in this world, they come with their mood and they come with their rasa. So sometimes a devotee, a Nitya Siddha devotee, he may not show the symptoms of, you know, being a great preacher. They may be very simple as well, because the characteristic of Uttam Adhikari devotee, see, there is Kanishta Adhikaris who are neophytes, who only have some little attraction for Krishna's deity form, but they do not have attraction for the Vaishnavas, the devotees of Krishna. The Madhyam Adhikaris, they are considered as the real salesperson of Krishna. They are very smart. Madhyam Adhikaris, actually Srila Prabhupada says that if we become Madhyam Adhikaris in our movement, then we can deliver the entire world. If all our members become Madhyam Adhikaris. Why become Madhyam Adhikaris? Have the distinction. They have love for Krishna. They have love for the Vaishnavas. They have mercy for all the fallen conditioned souls. And they have a stern attitude for the pretenders or the people who are envious of Vaishnavas. So Madhyam Adhikari platform is where one can preach. One cannot preach on the Uttam Adhikari platform. Why? Because on the Uttam Adhikari platform, the characteristic of Uttam Bhakta is that he sees everyone as pure devotee. He sees everybody as a spiritual master. So who is he going to preach? Just like we just talked about how Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he would even see the ants in Vrindavan and he would jump and offer obeisances even to the ants. So where is the question of preaching? So Uttam Adhikaris, they do not preach. But how come then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj and Bhakti Vedanta Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada, how come our Prabhupada and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, they are such great preachers? Because sometimes the Nitya Siddha devotees who have come in this material world with a specific mission, and the mission is to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world, they come down from the platform of Uttam Adhikari, Uttam Bhakta, to the platform of Madhyam Adhikari. So even though Srila Prabhupada, he is Uttam Adhikari, is Nitya Siddha devotee, but just out of compassion for all the fallen conditioned souls, they come down to the platform of Madhyam Adhikari, where they can see things as they are, tattva-darshi. They can even chastise the personalities who are doing wrong things. They can accept disciples, because when you accept disciples, you have to chastise them. You have to correct them. So you have to see them as subordinate. So that's the platform of Madhyam Adhikari. So only Madhyam Adhikaris can technically preach Krishna consciousness. So Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj has this mood of Bhajanandi, because he never came down from the platform of Uttam Adhikari. And that's what Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj also said, that my Guru Maharaj, he is a Uttam Adhikari. And he never came down. He doesn't want to come down of that platform. He doesn't care about the material world and he doesn't want to mingle with it. He is the great Avadhuta. That's why we began with the discussion of Avadhuta. Avadhuta category itself means that they do not want to mingle with the external energy of Krishna in any way. In any way possible. So that's why he is Bhajanandi, because he is Avadhuta category. That's why he is Avadhuta category. So Avadhuta category devotees, they do not come down to the platform. And on the other hand, we see Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, he is Goshtanandi, because he is a great preacher. And out of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls, he is Uttam Adhikari, greatest of the devotees, Nitya Siddha, but he is coming down to the platform Madhyam Adhikar. He is coming to the Madhyam Adhikar so that he can preach. So that's why he is Goshtanandi.
Thank you. But I'm hearing a little contradiction, because, you know, I have a microphone. I'm talking into a microphone. So you're saying how Bhakti Siddhanta said about his spiritual master, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, that he didn't come down from the Uttama Adhikara platform. But during the body of your talk, you're giving different examples of how he was instructing people. Maybe not on a large scale, but definitely I was hearing different instances of, you know, him instructing this Grihastha couple and this one and that one. criticizing the other Babaji's. So that's Majjhima Adhikari work, right?
Mm.
So how do we understand?
Okay, this that's kind a very of contradiction? Nice question. So when some other people came and approached Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj for instructions, he would say that build a kutir next to me, be my neighbor and chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra with me. Don't go back. There was one physician, there was one doctor who started a free clinic in Navadvip and free of cost. And he came and sat down at the feet of Babaji Maharaj. So Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj said that, what is this nonsense philanthropy work you have started? This is nonsense. You will be curing the bodies of those sense enjoyers. So you are curing some people, you are doing a philanthropic activity, but when they will be cured, they will go back to sense gratification. So what's the use of that? Rather sit here and chant with me all day, all night. So he would chant 192 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day. And just if you are wondering, that means 12 times 16 rounds. So when we chant 16 rounds, we are like, oh, we're done, finally, 16 now. So he would chant 12 times what we get fatigued in only 16 rounds. He would chant that much. So the point is, his only instruction was simple. Sit here, chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Don't worry about any philanthropic work. Don't worry about material business. These things will come and go. Material world is temporary. If you mingle with it, you are going to be attached. And then you will be doomed. So that was the only instruction. He would not give a Bhagavatam class. And externally he was illiterate also. So that is his Leela also, that he is Bhajanandi. And if he was very learned, if that was his Leela, then he would give big classes and, you know, but he was a simple Vaishnava. And he just wanted to remain a very simple Babaji. And all he gave instruction was just don't mingle with anything, with external energy, chant Hare Krishna. That's it. Okay, you, Shyam Murari Prabhu.
Thank you for a nice class. Correct me if I'm wrong. Did he not try to avoid giving instruction as much as he could? I remember one pastime where a couple came to him for blessings and he said, if you pass stool in front of me, then I'll give you blessings. And they couldn't muster up the courage to do it because it's disrespectful. So did he? Is it a noticeable point to mention that he tried to avoid giving instruction as much as he could?
Yeah. That's true. Because the point is the same, that he would not come down from Uttam Adhikari platform. He did not want to give instruction. And only thing he said, chant Hare Krishna. That's it. And he would say that don't be attached to bhojana. Because if you eat a lot and sumptuously, or if you eat without knowing the source of the food, then your bhojana will spoil your bhajana. So that was his little instruction. So he would give all the simple instructions for simple-hearted people and being on the platform Uttam Adhikari.
So we're honoring Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Certainly he's in a unique position. The instructions can be hardly understood.
Yeah.
So I just want to you make one point in which when he was in the latrine and that snake was coming out and the lady came inside and she pointed out that, you know, I came here for affection, but Maharaj rejected that he would rather die or take poisons from that snake than from the affection of women. Mm. So now I'm making this, it's a recollection that I have, that sometimes devotees prematurely hear this, and neophyte devotees, and they might misuse that quote. So what advice can you say to those devotees to honor what Srila correct Shraddha Maharaj is saying, but at the same time to be not to be rude or fanatically mistreat, especially the Vaishnavis or females who are also devotees of Krishna, because that happens a lot.
Yeah.
I'm saying neophyte,
that's
beginners.
Yeah.
So to make your advice.
See, in detail, what we can see is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, let's focus on the pastime of Chota Haridas. Chota Haridas Thakur was in the garb of sannyasi. He was wearing sannyasi clothes. And he saw one lady lustfully. He only saw her with lust. You know? And that's it. He did not approach her, or he did not flirt, or he did not do something to seduce her. Nothing. He only saw a woman with lust. As soon as he came back, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected him. He said that no more, like, you are rejected from the service. If you see entire Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is most merciful. There can be no one more merciful than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, why such most munificent, most magnanimous personality, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is rejecting Chota Haridas, which never happened. In the past, there was Kala Krishnadas. Kala Krishnadas traveled with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he got affected by Bhattahari women. They were prostitutes. He associated with them. He had association with those women. He literally fell down. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected him, but Nityanand Prabhu, he gave him service. Nityanand Prabhu gave him the service that you go to Bengal and give all the news from Jagannath Puri to devotees of Bengal. That's your service now. So he was not rejected. He was, in one sense, Nityanand Prabhu, he still kept him, even though he associated with women. Now here, the case of Chota Haridas Thakur, he has not associated with that lady. He only saw her with lust. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is being so strict. Why? So there are so many commentaries on this one incident. And Kaviraj Goswami, he concludes the chapter of Chota Haridas that if you want to accept Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as your heart, your Lord and Master, if you want to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then learn from Chota Haridas Thakur and avoid association with women. Woman means opposite sex. Because see, most of our Vaishnavas, they are in the body of a male. So that's why they say avoid association of women. Idea is, women should also avoid the loosely free mixing of, you know, with men. So it goes in both ways. Why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so strict? Because that's where the external energy, Maya, enters. That's the biggest weapon of Maya. The biggest weapon of external energy, the strongest of the shackle of Maya is the attraction between man and woman. When one breaks that shackle, then Krishna consciousness, attaining mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, attaining mercy of Radha Krishna, it becomes very easy. Because that's the strongest shackle, that's the strongest attachment. So that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he rejected Chota Haridas to the point that he committed suicide. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like, no more. Why? Because he is wearing a sannyasi robe. He is wearing the garb of sannyasi. And then he is pretending. And he is having these sexual thoughts or lustful ideas. So that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was strict. Because he doesn't like pretenders. The point is about pretension. If Chota Haridas Thakur properly marries that lady and he lives as a grihastha, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will give mercy profusely. Because actually in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's all pastime, 90%, 95% of his devotees, followers are grihasthas. They're all grihasthas, grihastha couples. So what really affects or what really stops us from getting the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to be pretender. It's to pretend to be someone you're not. So don't be a pretender. That's the point. And Babaji Maharaj, Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj, he would always restrict his devotees from loosely associating with women, because those days that was becoming the degraded culture of the Babajis. Because when Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj left the body, what happened? So many Babajis came and they said, "He is mine. This body is mine." Why? Because Babaji belonged to us. He is ours. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj came and he said that, "How are you claiming that he is yours? I am his only disciple and he is mine." So there was this conflict. Because these Babajis wanted to even make money off his dead body. Why? Because they thought, "We are going to build a nice samadhi. So many people will come. So much money, money, money. Money is honey. So let's make money even off his dead body." But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj was like a lion. He said, "Right now, you want the body of Babaji Maharaj? Anyone who has not associated with a low-class woman loosely for last 1 year, come and take this body." That was his lion, like he roared in the assembly. And the craziest part is nobody came. Everybody started looking here and there. Nobody could even see in the eyes of Saraswati Thakur, because they were all like associating with prostitutes or pretending to be Babajis, but they were having their affairs. So that's why he was so strict. Nobody came. Then he said, "Okay, anyone who has not had carnal association with any woman for last 6 months, come and take this body." So finally he said, last 3 days, nobody came. So finally he said, "I'm taking my Guru Maharaj." And then he takes the body and then he builds the samadhi. So we see that actually he was so strict because that's what he was seeing, that in the garb of being Babajis, being in the garb of sannyasis, being in the garb of a spiritual, you know, "I'm a great spiritual leader," they were misleading people and they were having sense gratification from the back door. So that's why he was so heavy on these things. The conclusion is, it's not to be pretender, yeah.
But he's still pretender. So can you be also pretender, but you don't know they're a pretender? You're like unconscious pretender. So is this some difference? Can you explain it?
See, the point is, Krishna is within our heart, so we cannot pretend anything, ideally. But if we make a show of being a great devotee or being making a show of that I'm a great ascetic person, then Krishna will somehow, you know, with his tricks, he will make us fall on flat on our face. So Krishna is the biggest trickster, and Krishna knows our heart. So sometimes if it is innocence, Krishna will give us the guidance from within heart, that he knows that he is not a pretender, he is just immature. There is difference between immaturity in bhakti and pretendence in bhakti. But the point is, if someone becomes a leader, someone becomes like a big devotee, and then he's a pretender, and then he's accepting disciples, or he is misleading such a big number of people, then it becomes a chaos in the society. And especially if such scandals, when they come out, then it gives a bad, bad name to the entire community. That's why there was one time, like I said, Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj started wearing silken clothes. He was wearing silk dhoti, silk everything. He said, "I am not a Babaji like these rascals." Why? Because then it is giving bad name to the entire society. And whose society it is? Ultimately it is Mahaprabhu's society. So that means, oh, your Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's also must be, you know, like that, like you only. So it brings bad name to Krishna. It brings bad name to Prabhupada. It brings bad name to Guru Maharaj. So that's the entire idea. That's why we should avoid. Yes, Prabhu. Acharya Nartam Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. Prabhu, what we see from Gorky Shordas Babaji, definitely he's a Gosti Anandi his whole life. Okay? So he doesn't just engage in Bhajan for some time and then he does a preaching work. He's Gosti Anandi, Bhajan Anandi his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
So in the life, I mean he's a Bhajan Anandi.
Mostly Bhajan Anandi, yes.
So, but in the life, for example, of Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta, Bhaktivinoda, and many other great spiritual masters, we see that they engage some time of their life in Bhajan.
Mm.
We can call it, they are Bhajan Anandis for some time, and then when they get some special Shakti, at least that is my observation, that because of that engagement in that particular Bhajan during that time, they get some special Shakti, empowerment, they become Gosti Anand. So my question is, so Prabhupada engaged us 16 rounds, chant Hare Krishna, do this, and you will go back to Godhead. And sometimes I question this in my mind, right? So if we want to do something big for Prabhupada, for this movement, should we engage ourselves in some type of that, like doing some bhajan for some time? Or I don't know, maybe you can clarify that, but those thoughts, because by observing the life of how these devotees went through at this, that's what comes to my mind, right? Maybe you can clarify elaborate more.
It's a very beautiful point that, see, you can become a preacher only when you have something to give. And you become rich in Krishna prem only by performing intense sadhana. That's why Srila Prabhupada gave morning program first. So you wake up early, you see the deities, you chant your prayers, then you chant 16 rounds, and then you take prasad, and then you go preach. Srila Prabhupada did not say, you preach, and we will do bhajan, kirtan, everything at night. No. First, you have to be strong with the sadhana, and then only you get that shakti. Krishna shakti bina nahi tar pravartan. You cannot enthuse anyone unless you yourself are enthused with Krishna consciousness. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj did that too. For 10 years, he went in seclusion. For 10 years. 10 years, he became a Babaji. For 10 years, he chanted 300,000 names of Krishna every day. And he was so austere. And while being so austere, while chanting Krishna's name so enthusiastically, profusely, immediately he would get up and he would write. So our Srila Prabhupada also said that my purports are my devotional ecstasies. Where does that come from? It comes from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj in those 10 years wrote so many books. He did not only do bhajan. While performing bhajan, he would, like you said, boom. He would get so much of enthusiasm, so much of power, and he would write down. He wrote Manasiksha, Sajjantoshi, so many books he wrote just by that bhajan. So there is always good chance, and rather we should all do strong bhajan. And that's Srila Prabhupada's program too. That Srila Prabhupada gave us the program that when you intensify your sadhana, then when we chant Krishna's holy name 16 rounds very intensely, then only we get the power to preach. Otherwise, we ourselves, like those who are book distributors, if you miss morning program, what happens? The day is not that good. We feel like, oh, something is lacking today. And it goes with everyone, even the people in general, the devotees who go to work. If they don't chant in the morning time, the day is not the same. They feel like, I'm so low on spiritual energy.
I think you answered his question perfectly in principle, and I'd like to just give a very specific thing. Papa didn't recommend that program. Papa did not recommend that program. Matter of fact, he discouraged that program. The only time Prabhupada had us, you know, focus in on like the bhajan exclusively, Mayapur Vrindavan Festival, 1 month a year. Prabhupada said, as many devotees as possible, it was an open instruction, as many devotees as possible should go to the India once a year for the Mayapur Vrindavan Festival. And they said, Prabhupada, it's very expensive, you know, to send a lot of devotees. How would we find them? He says, you find money to eat, you could find money to do that. Prabhupada was a big advocate of the Mayapur Vrindavan Festival, so much so that even the Parikrams, that was not inaugurated by Prabhupada. When Prabhupada heard initially about the Parikrams, he said, why are they going out? They should stay on the campus and read my books. That was Prabhupada's vision, that devotees come once a year, Mayapur, 2 weeks in Mayapur first, and 2 weeks in Vrindavan. At that time, they do, of course, the morning program, and then they, you know, use that time to study Prabhupada's books. And Prabhupada had the faith that the devotees had enough intelligence that, you know, they could utilize their time to do that. Aside from that, the intense bhajan, as Prabhu pointed out, takes place in the morning, and also Prabhupada's idea was the evening. Prabhupada introduced an evening program. There's Ananda Kirtan and I, just as we were driving back from Sankirtan last night, he was reading to me different things that Prabhupada said about the evening program. There wasn't just one. He wrote a letter to Gopi Janabalaba. There was a room conversation in Delhi. There was a half a dozen, right? At least a half a dozen, where Prabhupada made it clear that he wanted devotees to go to the not just the morning program, but the evening program as well. So that was the bhajan. The intense bhajan takes place on a daily basis. But aside from the Mayapur Vrindavan Festival, Prabhupada never recommended anybody do anything like what Bhaktisiddhanta did, to take 10 years out to chant. Contrary, there was at least one devotee, that possibly two, when they asked Prabhupada for a Babaji initiation, you know, so they could. Prabhupada wasn't into that, but when they forced the issue, you know, they twisted Prabhupada's arm, so to speak, Prabhupada said, okay. And both of those devotees, they didn't last very long. They kind of did it for a while, and then they just, off they went. Something else. So it's on a regular daily, and you said this. It's intense bhajan is there, but it's meant to be performed on a regular daily basis. The morning program, and then Prabhupada actually wanted everybody to come back and go to the evening program. So you have intense bhajan in the morning, intense bhajan in the evening. That's why Prabhupada, that phrase, the Krishna conscious sandwich, you know, that was like, I don't know if Prabhupada actually said that, but that was like, always had that understanding, the sandwich. And devotees used to give class on that. If you have a sandwich that doesn't have the top piece of bread, everything's going to fall out. You know, that was a standard like analogy or metaphor that devotees would use. That was Prabhupada's thing. That's what he gave us anyway. That's what I remember. And I was kind of here for that. So,
see, one thing we can understand, it's not easy to follow. Like, sometimes we think, oh, I also want to do it. But if you think practically, and in our condition, it may not be possible to take 10 years out and chant 192 rounds a day and perform such austerities. It's very, very difficult. It's like almost impossible for people like us. But what Srila Prabhupada has given us is that intense sadhana in the morning, that is possible in the association of devotees. Because who knows, if we go in seclusion, we may completely get lost. That, oh, where is that devotee go? Oh, he blooped. He disappeared. And in the name of seclusion, we may actually be secluded from Krishna consciousness itself. Yeah, that's what happened with many, many devotees. So Srila Prabhupada one time gave sannyas to many devotees in Mayapur. And that time, those sannyasis headed by Tamal Krishna Maharaj. They came to Prabhupada and they said, Shri Prabhupada, now we have gotten sannyas. Now we want to sit in the dham and we want to do bhajan and we want to intensify the sadhana. We want to, you know, do a lot of bhajan and read scriptures and be in the dham. Shri Prabhupada said, no, that's not the program at all. Shri Prabhupada clearly said that's not our program. Rather, all the devotees, they were very young. And they thought that Prabhupada will say that, okay, you sit and chant here, be bhajanandis. Shri Prabhupada said that until the day that we become invalid, until the day we become so old that we cannot move, practically, physically we cannot move, until that day I am going to preach. But right now I can still do a lot of preaching, so I am going to preach. So those are all the other sannyasis. They thought, if Prabhupada is calling himself that I am young enough to go and preach, then we are like in 20s. So how much more we should be keen on traveling and preaching. But at the same time, Srila Prabhupada has given, like Bhrigupati Prabhu said, this sandwich program. This intense sadhana in the morning, intense bhajan. If we chant our 16 rounds intensely, then we ourselves feel the energy and we feel that there is nothing more that is needed. And in the evening also we have intense prayers, intense bhajan. And in the middle part we can have service.
So just two brief comments. One is a well-known slogan during Prabhupada's time. It came from Prabhupada's work now, samadhi later. So that sort of supports what he was saying. And the other thing is, you know, we were talking about don't be a pretender. I just want to make it clear that although I'm aware of the standard, we were talking about the morning and the evening program, I was talking like very strong. I don't do it. I don't want to be condemned as being, I don't attend the evening program, except for if I'm being asked to give class or something like that. Otherwise, I don't. So it's, what to speak of, you know, taking a big long chunk of time out to do very intense sadhana. It's hard to do it on a daily basis. If you want to start someplace, just start by going to the morning and evening program. That's quite challenging, you know?
Yeah.
It's quite challenging to do that.
Yeah.
But that's Prabhupada's instruction for us.
Okay. Is everybody satisfied? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Okay. You said that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur at age 11, he helped with Jiva Dharma. He helped Bhaktivinoda Thakur write Jiva Dharma and prove.
That was seven.
Oh, yeah. Age seven.
I've read
Jiva Dharma, and Jiva Dharma does not emphasize preaching. It's more for like bhajan anandis. And I remember Prajumna Prabhu, the disciple of Srila Prabhupada, was saying how he was reading Harinam Chintamani. And Prabhupada asked, why are you reading that book? And Prajumna said, well, it's very nice. You know, it's helping me my chanting. It's talking about how to avoid the offenses of chanting. And Prabhupada said, why are you concerned with the offenses for chanting? You're still committing offenses? And he said, that book's not very important. The most important works of Bhaktivinoda Thakur is Jiva Dharma. So Prabhupada is saying that, and Jiva Dharma is emphasizing more of like a bhajanandi lifestyle, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote that book along with, you said, Bimal Prasad, and we know Bimal Prasad's brother is Lalit Prasad, and they had different opinions. Lalit Prasad was more bhajanandi. He actually says that Bhaktivinoda Thakur's teachings more emphasize bhajanandi lifestyle. Which Bhimo Prasad Bhaktisiddhanta says the opposite, Goshtyanandi. So how do we understand all that?
See, Bhajanandi and Goshtyanandi. How about that two distinct things? Actually, we can combine them. You see, Bhajanandi is Bhajanandi. That means no more Goshtyanandi for you. You don't see that in any person who is 100% Bhajanandi. 100% Bhajanandi means He never gave any instructions. He never read Srimad Bhagavatam, because Bhagavatam is full of Goshtas, Goshtanandi. Goshtanandi basically means talking about the pastimes, stories, and indulging in different leelas of Krishna. This Goshta. Goshtanandi means in the association of devotees, you share your hearts and you discuss about different pastimes. And Bhajanandi means only focusing on bhajan, means you either chant Krishna's names incessantly, constantly you chant Krishna's names, or only be in seclusion and focus on different bhajans, different poems that glorify Krishna. For example, our Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he would carry two books with him. He had only two books. Only two books in his entire lifetime, he had only two books. One is Prarthana, and second one is Prema Bhakti Chandrika. Right. So only two books, both by Narottam Das Thakur, he would carry, and he would chant those prayers, do bhajan from those books, and chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So that's the Goshtanandi. But at the same time, we see that he gave instructions. When devotees came, that's Bhajanandi. Because he's only focusing on prarthana, only chanting. One person came to him and he said, Babaji Maharaj, I want Krishna Prem. What should I do? He said, do you have 25 paisa? He asked. Do you know this? Do you have 25 paisa? This Prabhu thought, I don't have 25 paisa. Then he said, do you have 10 paisa? Then he's like, why Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj? He's the renunciate. He's the most, Sakshat Vairagya Murti. And why is he asking me for money? So he said, I don't have 10 paisa too. Final offer. Do you have 2 paisa? Then he said, I think I can manage 2 paisa. What should I do with 2 paisa? He said, with 2 paisa, 1 paisa you buy Prarthana. And 2nd paisa you buy the Prem Bhakti Chandrika. And that's all you need in your life. That's a Bhajanandi. Now, then he asked that, why did you ask me 25 paisa in the first place? So he said that 2 paisa for the 2 books and rest 23 paisa for the service of Vaishnavas. So at the same time, he is encouraging for the service of Vaishnavas. The service of Vaishnavas also means you have to talk to them. That means you have to come out of seclusion, right? That means Bhajanandi and Goshtanandi, they both go hand in hand. They are the two sides of the same coin. That's my humble opinion. Because I have never seen or heard of any Vaishnava who is only 100% Bhajanandi. 100% Bhajanandi. He never came out, never, associated with the devotees as such, and did not indulge in the beautiful pastimes of Krishna. So, that I have never heard. And I have never seen anybody who is 100% Goshtanandi. Because Goshtananda begins only when you have strong bhajan. So Goshtananda, the anand, see, basically is Goshta Anandi. The one who gets pleasure from Goshta and different, associates. Or Bhajanandi, the one who takes pleasure from bhajan. So one cannot get happiness from Goshta unless one has already gotten happiness from bhajan. So they both go hand in hand. Yeah, no, definitely. He is also like that. See, Haridas Thakur actually is the best example to describe this. Why? Because Haridas Thakur is Namacharya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him that title. That means he would chant, and he is the best Bhajanandi you can find. He's the best Bhajanandi. Why? Because he's Namacharya. And one can become Namacharya only when he is only chanting, chanting, chanting and chanting. At the same time, personal instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Haridas Thakur Nityananda. Suno suno Nityananda, suno Haridas, sarvatra prachar mora karaye prakash, prati ghare ghare giya karaye bhiksha. Bolo Krishna bhajo Krishna karo Krishna shiksha. Gaurang Mahaprabhu is telling Haridas Thakur and Nityanand. Suno suno Nityanand, suno Haridas. Oh my dear Nityanand, oh my dear Haridas, This is my instruction for you. Prati ghare ghare giya karo ei bhiksha. You go door to door and beg them for this one request. Beg them this one thing. What is it? Bolo Krishna. Tell every person you go meet, knock on their door and beg them. Bolo Krishna. Tell them, chant Krishna's name. Bhajo Krishna. Worship Krishna. And karo Krishna shiksha. That means learn about Krishna. So these three instructions. So Haridas Thakur is being given this order, even though he is the first class Bhajnanandi. You can say that he is personified Bhajnanandi. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that, oh my dear Bhajnanandi, now you become Goshtanandi. Now go door to door and give the gift of Krishna consciousness to each and everyone. Beg them to chant Krishna's name. Tell them that Krishna is your mother, Krishna is your father, Krishna is Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Dhana Pran. He is the wealth and he is the very life air. So that's the instruction. Actually, Bhrigupati Prabhu, that's the best example for this question. Haridas Thakur is the best example because he's the best Bhajnanandi who is also Goshtanandi. Yeah. Because these are not two things, it's like the two sides of the same coin. And the best example of this is Srila Prabhupada. Because when Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, living in Radha Damodar temple, he was very intense with his bhajan. There was one time, Prabhupada's godbrother shared this, that there was one time that I would hear some voices at night, in the middle of the night. And I would think, who is talking or what's happening? So he would go climb on top. And he would look down and he said that it was your Srila Prabhupada that was having a conversation in the prayerful mood with Rupa Goswami Samadhi. And he would be weeping incessantly. And he would beg for the mercy from Rupa Goswami. He would say that, give me the mercy and give me the power so that I can go out and preach the message of Krishna in the entire world. This is the instruction I have been given by my spiritual master. And please give me the power to execute his order. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada is the best example of this Goshtanand, who is the best Bhajnanandi and who also is the best Goshtanand. Best of both worlds. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj ki jai. Tirobhav Divas Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj ki jai. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Hari.
Saraswati is also a title. So because Vimal Prasad or Vaishabhanu Daita Prabhu, he was so scholar, he had I think 12 titles. So he liked those two. He kept those two.